Good Friday, good people. My name is Gerard Bonner, a.k.a. The Professor, and we're gearing up for our reboot, relaunch of the Ring of Honor post show. And today, we're talking about Supercard of Honor and the fallout from all of that. You're locked into the Ring of Honor post show.
I am your forever ROH Women's Champion, your fallen goddess, the Alpha, the Minion, Overlord, the ROH Gatekeeper. But most of all, I am the best in the world, Athena, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Zero. Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Good Friday, good people. I hope you guys are well. Welcome to Women's Wrestling Talk, of course, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. I am the Professor Teflon G. It's weird to call myself that. Anyway, it's good to be with you guys, and I'm excited to be a part of this relaunch of our Ring of Honor post show, where the entire focus is on Ring of Honor. Of course, you can check out Ring of Honor every single week, and really every day, technically, on Honor Club. And I am not alone. This is kind of wild to be able to do, but I've got the boss lady as my tag team partner. TK Trinidad is in the building. What's going on, TK?
Hey, hey, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So I want to definitely shout out. It might be too early for him or her. I don't know what coast they're on, but shout out MDB999. For egging the Professor, aka Teflon G, so much that the show has been brought back. So you know you can get some education just in case you can't afford that $9.99. It's hard for a lot of us. I get America's Americaning. You know what I'm saying right now. So you know it's so well. Just in case you don't have the money. Oh, look at that! Just in case you don't have the money to watch ROH because you're all the other things, we bring it to you. So now you know what's going on. So there you go. MDB999. This is for you.
Yeah, well, I hope he appreciates it, though. Something tells me he's just finding another reason to antagonize me. But now that I'm fully aware, you won't be able to get to me, sir, no matter how hard you try. Anyway, for all of our other listeners and viewers, welcome aboard as we spend some time talking about Ring of Honor, a brand that I don't think gets enough attention and certainly needs to and will, courtesy of our post show. And you guys saw a brief appearance from the young professor, who hopefully this won't be a regular thing. But with that said, one of the most popular shows from Ring of Honor is their Supercard of Honor, which historically has been presented during WrestleMania weekend. And such was the case again this past Friday as they were in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Lacoris Center. Jackson, that's enough. Okay. You do see me on live, right? Okay. So stop. We already talked about this. All right, now back to business at hand. Supercard of Honor took place last Friday. And interestingly enough, TK and the rest of the WWT crew were in the house. So before we go through the actual card, what was it like to be there live for Supercard of Honor during such an important weekend?
It was great. So, you know, we made an executive decision. We had the chance to... I mean, it's great to be wanted in both places. So we had SmackDown tickets and Ring of Honor, but decided to do Ring of Honor. One, because I believe I haven't that was gonna be my first show. I've done AEW, of course, but that was gonna be my first show. And it's like, you know, I already knew it was gonna be more of an intimate setting. Yeah. So I think it was a great choice. Brother adjacent or product adjacent, Evan T. Mac was there. Also Kyle from Knockouts and Three Counts was there. So there's a lot. There was a big media contingent there. So it was a great event. It was at Temple University. It's weird because I believe that, and I was talking to you about this offline, I believe it was really long. However, I think the time that we got there is about the time that we got there for WrestleMania, and we got out around the same time. So I don't know if it's a production thing that it felt really long because we didn't get out of Ring of Honor until midnight. And then there was the scrum. Right. But then the next day, I had to get up and go like super early. I had something else to do. And it's like, there's just no way I can't. This is, I can't.
Yeah.
So I think if I did all three scrums, I would still be sleeping. So other than that, it was great. And we'll get into the matches. There's some swerves in there. Some really great moments. So I implore people that if you can sacrifice that $9.99, definitely do so. And if not, just tune in with us every week so you can get, because there's a lot of action there. It's just a lot of action there. You know what I'm saying? So
And interestingly enough, in the wrestling economy, Ring of Honor at $9.99, particularly with their pay-per-views included, becomes a certainly a good deal in comparison, of course, to AEW and their now nearly monthly pay-per-view cost of roughly $50 a month. So obviously, it's completely up to you how you choose to spend your money and where you choose to spend your money. But I do think that the addition of these pay-per-views for Ring of Honor is a huge, huge deal. Considering that before we were paying $40 a pop for Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So the deal is great and the action is fantastic as well. So Ring of Honor, they kicked off Supercard of Honor with the 0 hour, which has been traditional for Ring of Honor as opposed to something new that AEW's kind of brought in, but they certainly got that from Ring of Honor. There were about four matches during that, and as to not elongate the show, we're going to dive right in to when the actual show started. And it started, of course, with a television title match between Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson. So one of the first things that I want to mention during this is, you know, people are wondering what are some of the differences between Ring of Honor and AEW. And I think one of the differences can be determined right from the start of the show. AEW historically, you know, once that whole FBI, you know, thing goes off the air, they literally come right in with their show. Mm-hmm. I am more accustomed to some sort of lead-in, you know, some sort of package that is put together to kind of give you some history in terms of why we got to this point, what are some of the major matches that are happening and the like. And we got to see, I thought, a really solid package presented from Ring of Honor where they talked about some of the major matches that were happening, including the world title match, the women's world title match, and the stories that are connected to that. What did you think about that particular opening of the show, TK?
It got me excited. I think Evan and I both were talking about that, where it seems like, well, there's one tidbit of information that I won't say, but it seems like across all promotions, everybody has stepped up, and not stepped up meaning that it was bad before, but you know, like, it, for those who have watched Women's Wrestling Talk from the beginning, or even Women's Wrestling Weekly from the beginning, if you look at our graphics then to where we are now, like, it just improves as with time. So Ring of Honor, it just seems like they just stepped up another notch graphics wise, and whoever is doing those packages and stuff like that, it's on a whole nother level. Just like how WWE's packages, and I definitely don't want to do the comparison of the two, but WWE's packages are looking more documentary. HBO style, if you know what I'm talking about, and that's a whole nother level. So Ring of Honor definitely giving that feel. It's actually really getting me excited about, you know, what's to come.
Yeah. And I think it's important for Ring of Honor because, you know, we often talk about storytelling being an issue, certainly in that AEW bubble. And we can now see some differentiations being made between AEW and Ring of Honor, particularly with packages like this. And I thought that one of the overarching things of Supercard of Honor is that they did a great job telling stories. And so with that said, the opening match was for the World Television Championship as the champion Kyle Fletcher defended against Lee Johnson. Coming into this, Kyle Fletcher was undefeated in Ring of Honor competition, and so was Lee Johnson in his last 9 matches, which is what earned him this opportunity at the television championship. Kyle Fletcher won that title when it was vacated by Samoa Joe, and won that title at the final battle pay-per-view back in December, and in a six-man type of match, which, oddly enough, Lee Johnson was a part of. But since that point, Lee Johnson has really stepped things up. And this match, I will just straight up say, was far better than I anticipated it was going to be. I've been following Lee Johnson's career since very early on. Spent some time with him over at Southern Honor. He's a product of the Nightmare Factory. So he's really done some great, great things. However, most are familiar with Kyle Fletcher from his time in New Japan and from his time as part of the tag team United Empire. So this was a really interesting match to see. And I think Lee Johnson showed the entire world why he belonged in that match. What were your thoughts on this opening contest?
I love a good match where you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised because it was just like, okay, wait, so are we looking at a new champion? Oh, no, we're not looking at a new champion. Are we? And the back and forth, that's how you know it's a really great match to me personally.
Yes.
So the back and forth was great. It was a combination of a lot of, I don't know, medium men clapping meat. I don't, you know, medium meat men clashing meat, I guess. That was, because not big meaty men, like medium meaty men. It was a great combination of that. Some high flyers, some high flying movements. Just a great match out the gate, which made me think that, hey, it's going to be a short and tight show, pay-per-view. Like, hit us with all the things. Razzle dazzle us, excitement, boom, out at like 11. That's what I thought. The high hopes were there.
Yes.
A great match on the whole, for sure.
Absolutely. Fantastic match that saw, again, Kyle Fletcher retain the championship. But, you know, sometimes in matches like these, you know, being able to shine on a major stage is huge. And I think this is certainly one of the first pay-per-view matches for Lee Johnson, if not the first. So a huge showing, and to be trusted to kind of start this show was a huge, huge deal. So congratulations to both Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson on a great opening match at Supercard of Honor. Again, Kyle Fletcher retains the World Television Championship. From there, a match that I think is probably near and dear to our hearts here at Women's Wrestling Talk was a six-woman tag team match, or trios match, depending upon your perspective, highlighting the wrestlers from Stardom. Now, Stardom, of course, an amazing promotion who is always focused on women's wrestling exclusively out of Japan. Seeing this partnership with Ring of Honor is really significant. Historically, Ring of Honor has partnered with a number of Japanese organizations, most notably New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I think is what helped to create the scenario for AEW to partner with New Japan. But Ring of Honor doing this partnership with Stardom, I think, is really, really significant. And so we got to see six of Stardom's finest really going at it. Mina, Shirakawa, Micah and Maesira against Saya Kamatani. I'm going to get that wrong. I'm sorry. Tom Nakano and Azima. Did I get that right? I think I got that right. A great, great six-woman tag. And if you're unfamiliar with Stardom, because it's not as easy to watch perhaps as New Japan or some of the other streaming platforms, it is certainly a great, great opening to who these women are and what Stardom brings to the table, as a number of them hold championships there in Stardom. What were your thoughts on seeing this Stardom showcase on Ring of Honor?
Referencing MDB 999's comment, I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't know who none of these women were, which is, the audience at Ring of Honor, they seem to know who they were, and or they were just excited. Their entrances on both sides were amazing. And if you aren't watching Stardom, or, you know, if you don't watch it all the time, it makes you at least curious to see, oh, well, what else are they doing? So there was that. It was the fact that I almost think Ring of Honor is the perfect place to debut it. And Stardom did have a show, I believe, the day before. It's WrestleMania weekend. I mean, you were there for that day, and it was already packed for you. Like, that weekend, so much going on. It's impossible to be all places at once. But with that being said, the entrances alone, for me, I love a good entrance. I love good promo. The entrances alone drew me in because it's like, okay, well, wait, what are we doing? And then just the storytelling and then the gear. And then now that's one thing. Now we get into the wrestling.
Yeah.
I think it was Jordynne Grace. I just saw her tweet yesterday and she said, I believe she's in Japan. Don't quote me exactly where she is. She's overseas. And she said that the girls over here, I think they're referencing Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They're on a whole nother level. And then they definitely showcased it in this match.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of ruffled feathers a couple of years ago with the PWI at that time 150 when there were Stardom women, you know, who were topping those rankings and people were just like, how is this possible? Nobody knows who they are. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the beauties of these showcases. And MDB, you actually don't need to feel bad about that. I think that's why these women are showcased in Ring of Honor in this particular way, to introduce you to them and to kind of give you a small window in terms of some of the other wrestling that is going on in the rest of the world. And this was that kind of matchup for sure. They really got in some of their best work. And, you know, the idea was something like this. It's like, oh boy, I can't even believe I'm going to make this reference, but it's almost like when you go to Costco and you get those samples, right? You get the samples with the idea of you wanting to be able to get more. And I definitely feel like this match hopefully presented something where at least one of these six women were so exciting that you want to see more of what Stardom does. And so if that's the case, it was absolutely a win, a huge move, certainly for Ring of Honor, who already had two big women's matches on this card for Super Card of Honor, which I think was seven or eight matches strong. So to think that this was the third women's match on the main show out of eight matches, that says a lot again about the consistency and commitment that Ring of Honor specifically has to showcasing women's talent. And we certainly got to see that throughout the show. So congratulations to the women of Stardom for a great six-woman tag match. The card continued. Oh, sorry.
Okay, yes. Say who won.
Oh, I'm sorry. I that's kind of important. We need to know that, right? So I just got so excited about that I didn't talk about that. But the winners of the six-woman tag match, which, by the way, those two teams actually had names, like their names. So Azimu, Saya Kamitani, they are part of Queen's Quest. They were teamed with Tam Nakano against the team of Empress Nexus Venus. That's Micah, who is the World of Stardom champion, and Mina Shirakawa, along with Mei Sira. And so the winner of that match was, the team was Shirakawa, Micah, and Mei Sira. That's Empress Nexus Venus. Now, if you were watching Dynamite, Dynamite got interesting because Mina Shirakawa, I believe that was her, who showed up during the match that involved Mariah May. Now, Mariah May actually came out at the end of this match to congratulate Shirakawa. They used to work together when Mariah May was in Stardom. And so, you know, kind of that unique moment that happened at the end of that match on Dynamite is this kind of a continuation of this partnership that Shirakawa and Mariah May happen to have. So very, very interesting for sure. And likely on WWT Live, we'll talk more about all of the happenings from Dynamite. But again, your winners, Mina Shirakawa, Micah, and Mei Sira. All right, moving forward into the tag team title match, the second title match on this card that was filled with title matches. It was the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships on the line as the Undisputed Kingdom defended against the Infantry, that being the team of Carly Bravo and the captain, Sean Dean. Now, how we got to this is that the night before on Ring of Honor television, there was a Proving Ground match. So, for those unfamiliar with the Ring of Honor product, In other organizations, if you end up in a non-title match against the champion, you have to beat the champion in order to get a title shot. In Ring of Honor, the way this works with these proving ground matches, the matches have a 10-minute time limit, and you either need to defeat the champion or last the full 10 minutes. If you last the full 10 minutes, take that champion to a draw, you now get a title match. So the night before on Ring of Honor television, these two teams battled. The Infantry did not win the match, but they did not lose. They took them to a full 10-minute draw. And so because they went to the 10-minute time limit draw, they were able to get a title match, and they wanted to cash that match in at Supercard of Honor. That gets us here to the Supercard of Honor tag team title match between the Undisputed Kingdom and the Infantry. If you've been watching the Infantry, you've seen them a lot on AEW television as of late, being a part of that tag team title tournament, winning their inaugural match against House of Black, but then losing to FTR, but they took FTR to the limit in a great tag team match. They have been all over Ring of Honor for quite some time throughout this last year. So this was a great opportunity for them to get a tag team title shot. Before we get into the results of this match, what did you think of this match between the Undisputed Kingdom and the Infantry?
Great setup. Again, if you're not, again, one of the reasons why we have this show is that people don't watch the product. And if you're just watching the pay-per-view, the setup for it was amazing because you're like, okay, well, what's going on here? Even if you didn't know all those things that you referenced, you know, low-key for, I don't want to say for obvious reasons, I was rooting for the Infantry. But on a whole, Maria's on. It gets kind of spicy. But on the whole, it was a great match. All the matches, all the matches were great, which makes it harder for it to be such a long show because you can only be so high for so long. I enjoyed the match a lot. I did expect the Infantry to win. Beyond obvious reasons, just because I felt like it was kind of the right time to do a title change, but they didn't. And I was watching Ring of Honor this week, and it seems like there's going to be a setup for something else, which is good too.
Yeah. So again, I'm with you. I certainly have been pulling for the Infantry amid all of this. I've said this before, and if I haven't, I will go ahead and say it in this particular space that I go back quite a ways with the Infantry. I was there for Carly Bravo's very first match at the Nightmare Factory, had a chance to call that and been working with him throughout his entire career. Of course, I've worked with Sean Dean as part of Southern Honor as well. Watching these two come together and create a great tag team has been amazing. And I feel like, and this will come up later in the show as well, I kind of feel like this was a missed moment for Ring of Honor. And I will say this, and just for the record, part of this post show is obviously we're going to, you know, be celebratory and yet objective about the things that we see. And one of the things that I think Ring of Honor historically has done well has been create new stars. You know, think about it. The world doesn't know about a Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Tyler Black, now known as Seth Rollins, Adam Cole, Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson. All of these names became names inside of Ring of Honor. So I felt like Supercard of Honor, given all that's been going on in the world of Ring of Honor / AEW, is a great opportunity to create new stars and make new moments. And I'm not fully sure that that was fully taken advantage of, certainly in this particular match, given all of the attention that the Infantry has received, and they have so dramatically improved from the first time they appeared on Ring of Honor television. It kind of is just one of those moments where it's like, wow. Let's also throw this little factoid in there, which just kind of shows the differences in universes. So both of these teams were included in the AEW tag team title tournament. Now, mm-hmm. you would think that the Undisputed Kingdom, as the Ring of Honor tag team champions, may have either gotten a bye or something like that. But they both were entered into the tournament in the same space, in a wild card space. The Infantry won their match against the House of Black. The Undisputed Kingdom, the Ring of Honor tag team champions, lost their opening match, and they lost that to the team of Best Friends. So it's interesting to me that both of these teams fought in the first round. The Infantry wins, moves forward. The Undisputed Kingdom loses. Infantry ends up against, of course, former Ring of Honor tag team champions, FTR, an amazing match. Undisputed Kingdom is just kind of sitting back and watching the whole thing happen. So you'd figure that when they get together, the Infantry would likely win this match. Certainly, if this were a fair fight and we kept out outside interference, we might have gotten that result. But we get this unique appearance from Wardlow, who comes in, and he's kind of been put on this assignment to ensure that nobody inside of the Undisputed Kingdom loses a championship. He comes in, interferes in this match, costing the Infantry the tag team championships, and the Undisputed Kingdom retain. Kind of wild.
I, you know what, when you said that, I was like, damn, I forgot about that moment. That was a wild moment, because you're like, wait, what's happening here? And
right.
just for to be objective, but also obvious, because this mm-hmm. happens on so many occasions.
Sure.
So the ref doesn't see this, but we all in the audience see it. And then we mm-hmm. also have, you know, people in the back seeing the shenanigans happen, but nobody says anything. You kind of let it play out. Like
right.
it's picking of choosing of what we see and what we don't see is kind of hilarious. Again, this is a joke. I know this is how, you know, how things
yeah.
are supposed to work to push the story forward, but it is kind of funny when it's just like, you did not see that big man walk in and
he's no small. And he interfered and walked out of the ring on the big giant stage.
Like nobody saw that.
Right, like you didn't hide under the ring, you didn't bury, like
nothing, like a fade to black. He was there, then he was gone. None of that.
Right,
just like, we're just gonna cheat in front of everybody, which might not be the best lesson for children to watch. But either way,
true. And then you add to that, Wardlow is physically bigger than anybody else in that ring. So how we miss that is kind of amazing to me. But
right.
either way, the Undisputed Kingdom retains the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship. And certainly we'll talk about kind of the fallout from that in just a little bit. You know what? Now is probably a decent time to remind you that we've got a lot of cool things that are going on here at Women's Wrestling Talk, including your chance to get some merch.
Hey, yo, you. Yeah, you that's watching this. You sitting on the couch staring at the screen, not knowing what you want to do, like this is an online college. Are you tired of wearing shirts that make you look like an extra stuck in catering? Do you want to step your wrestling swag game up to the next level? Then Women's Wrestling Talk has got you covered. Like, literally. Are you for life in pink or black and white? Or maybe you're the EST and people need to respect you accordingly. Want to put some pride in your stride and show off the muscle in your hustle? Then make sure you check out the WWT store. Not now, but right now. All right? What you waiting for? Head to www.talkpodstore.com and don't make me fight you. Shit.
Professor's way back. I'm sure he's dealing with a little professor, but that's gonna go into our it's so crazy. I just found something back in. That's gonna go into our next match, which is gonna be Queen Aminata versus Billy Starks, which is the match to me. Of course, I'm kind of biased. The match of the night for all the shenanigans that happened. Again, partly because of obvious reasons, but partly because her name's been floating around for so long. And of course, MDB 999, this is also for you, partly because of that. We have been talking about Queen Aminata for so long that I thought she was going to take the win for this. And the match was amazing. This is, like I said, how you know it was such a good match. MDB 999, we all know the real reason Professor ran away. Let's talk about this.
No, I mean, wow. In the interest of full disclosure, we had to empty thine bladder, but With that said, I hope you guys will get this merch because it is some great merch that is out there. Now then, let's get to this match right here. The Supercard of Honor featured the inaugural women's TV title match. For initially, we had 10 women in this tournament. It came down to the final two. Queen Aminata taking on Billie Starks. Now, this is interesting for a few reasons. On one end, you have Queen Aminata, who at up to this point was undefeated in Ring of Honor competition, went through and got some big, big wins, including defeating Red Velvet in the semifinals to move to this particular space. So this was really huge. Billie Starks had some big wins as well, including defeating former Ring of Honor Women's World Champion Mercedes Martinez. Also, we remember Billie Starks back at Final Battle. Her and Athena were the first women to ever main event a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So this was a big, big moment here. Many thought that Billie Starks coming into it with the announcement of the creation of this championship would be the favorite until Queen Aminata showed up. And so this really was a battle between the two biggest prospects in this tournament, which was a full tournament that had some amazing, amazing women competitors in here. But here we are, Queen Aminata, Billie Starks. Before we get into the results, what did you think of this match? Because this was a match that I was super excited about. And of course, it was Queen Aminata's official Ring of Honor pay-per-view debut.
Yeah, like I was saying, it's like for obvious reasons, I was cheering for Queen Aminata, but we had been talking about her for so long on WWT Live. I felt like this was the moment because you're seeing her everywhere. You know, she did the interview with Renee. Like it felt like the buildup was there and she was getting more play in, I don't know, it's like mainstream media. Like there's kind of certain like wrestling bubbles. Like it's like the one that like people are always watching. Then there's a little bit of like, you don't necessarily watch the product all the time, but you kind of know what's going on. I was seeing more Queen Aminata everywhere else in that kind of sphere. So I thought that was, this was, you know, going to be her moment. The match was amazing. And again, but for me, you could tell it's a great match when you don't know who's going to win. Cause sometimes you're like, hey, this is definitely going to be Queen Aminata's moment. And then it went back and forth. And then the shenanigans happened. And it was crazy because when it happened, you know, there's part of the crowd who I guess they knew they were, you know, they were chanting. And then there's part of the crowd that we just didn't know.
Right.
And being in a few scenarios like this where, you know, in one of my former lives, I've been in CrossFit scenarios where I literally saw a man lose his ability to walk because he dropped on his neck. Like I've seen situations where people, their life changes instantly in an athletic setting, and you want to be sure, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be on the other side of history where you're cheering them, you know, cheering for them to get up, but they really can't. So it was a scary moment for a lot of us. To, you know, as the moments were progressing and then you didn't see, because it's usually like three or four, maybe four, like EMTs that come, only two, but they didn't quite look like EMTs. Then they put the brace on, but then there's the little slab is not there. Then they stand up and that's when we knew, oh, this is probably a swerve. And then it was kind of like, great. But it's also kind of like, it kind of made me feel a little yucky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like, I understand it. And now that I talk back to it, it's like, yeah, it's okay. But I guess when you play into that emotion, when you legitimately think somebody is hurt, and not only possibly their career, I mean, look at Big
E. Their lives.
You know, it could change.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, you know, this... And so that's how it felt live. Watching it back played into it much more. Like, there was, you know, one of the things that we've seen in multiple companies, when people are injured, they tend to take the camera off of them. because they're not sure of the extent of the injury and they don't want to really broadcast. And they did that. They panned often to the commentators who were all extremely concerned. The look of seriousness on the face of all three of the commentators spoke volumes, you know? And so I think with something like that, and I see MDB saying, you know, didn't Queen Aminata learn anything from the ancestors? Well, here's the thing, you know, Queen Aminata just literally got back from being injured for almost a year herself. Mm-hmm. When you start dealing with injuries, it is nothing to play with, particularly inside of a match. And, you know, when it comes to these injuries that can happen, it's not always the most obvious move that causes an injury. We've seen people literally step outside of the ring and something happens with their leg. You know, I think about when R-Truth was in NXT and he did this flip over the top rope and landed wrong on his leg. You know, we've seen some of the most random moments create long-standing injuries for opponents. And so in that particular moment, I completely understand why she thought that it was a move that hit the neck. And again, you hit it wrong, you know, 1 inch, 1 centimeter, one way or another, you change somebody's life immediately. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in this 2024 environment where we do take the health of our wrestlers much more seriously, I can't even call it low-hanging fruit. I just felt like it was not a classy move at all, given a match that was done so well, mm-hmm. that was so competitive. You know, I didn't like that. It was a cringe moment, and, you know, we would find out later in the week that it wasn't the only cringe moment coming out of that particular area. But I felt like it was, if the intent was to showcase Billy Starks as a heel, it definitely did that.
Right.
So in terms of whether or not it was effective, it totally was. In terms of whether or not this was the right result, again, I go back to, you know, who we asked this question a lot during Mania Week, who needed the win more. Mm-hmm. I don't think Billy Starks did. You know, I feel like Billy Starks particularly, and here's one of the things, now you have the whole Minion Overlord thing, mm-hmm. ruling everything in the women's division. And so I'm not sure in terms of story arc where that ultimately goes, what it does for Queen Aminata. I think Queen Aminata at some point will become the women's television champion. It just seems very obvious, you know, but having this move as the first, you know, there, when you have somebody like a Queen Aminata who has an aura to her, she has a story to her already built in without you ever having to write anything. I think you could have missed an opportunity here by not having her as your inaugural champion. And so we'll see kind of what happens for the future of this. Don't want to take anything away from Billy Starks. She did what she had to do to win the championship. But just from where I sit, I'll say this too, and I won't spend a lot of time. Unfortunately, in that particular universe, they don't always do a good job of maximizing a moment.
Right.
If we go back a couple of years back when the Acclaimed was super hot and they were fighting Keith Lee and Swerve for the tag titles, many thought that at that All Out in Chicago, they should have won the titles. They didn't. So they tried to correct that a couple of weeks later there in New York City. It didn't hit the same. You know, So I'm hoping that whenever Queen Aminata gets this rematch, that it will hit a little bit differently. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Either way. Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, the fact that Billy Starks and obviously Athena, like it's kind of like overall now they make up this unit. It kind of makes sense. Like the moment that, you know, Billy Starks had an issue with her neck, Queen Aminata was about to win. Like it was in that moment. So maybe when you think of the bigger picture storyline, you might remember, you know, the inaugural champion doing the shenanigans that led to now Queen Aminata really not buying any of the shenanigans anymore, learning her lesson, you know, what the extent to what Billy Starks will do to win, and then overcoming that and then becoming champion. So maybe that victory, when she does win, is going to be so much sweeter because, you know, somebody cheated you out of this. So maybe that's going to be kind of the storyline of it all. But yeah, I mean, I was disappointed. And after I got over kind of the shock of the messiness of it all,
right,
that's what that's when we talked about ROH. That was one of the first things people talked about.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean.
And so if you want to get them talking, that's kind of how you do it. And
yeah.
So I get it. I get it. So Billy Starks walks away as the inaugural Ring of Honor Women's World Television Champion. Continuing on this card, so there was a Bang Bang Gang open contract, which the Bang Bang Gang, the Bullet Club Gold, who many may forget are still the Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions, came through with a title defense and an open contract for that. This was an unscheduled match that I think may have ended up being one of the best matches of the night. And that's really saying something given all that happened that night. And so that particular match, the question would be, who would answer the challenge? Well, the first person to show up to answer the challenge was the Murder Hawk Monster Lance Archer, who doesn't normally get an opportunity to use a microphone and talk in this universe, but he did. And he brought out his partner, Alex Zane from New Japan. And then they brought out the great Minoru Suzuki. And those three men would challenge for the six-man tag team championships against Bullet Club Gold, which certainly seemed like a wild match for sure. What were your thoughts on this six-man tag team title match?
First off, the Bang Bang Gang got the opportunity to interview, I guess, a third of them in Chicago. Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's one thing. And actually, I would love to do a survey because the more I kind of listen to a lot of different interviews, the more I find out there are a lot of introverted wrestlers. They appear not to be because they were hilarious. So that was definitely a complete side note. But with that being said, I almost thought that this was definitely going to be like Lance Archer. Lance Archer is kind of time to shine. The match on a whole was amazing. It was great.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was just because, I mean, obviously we see this New Japan element, you know, the stardom element floating throughout AEW and, of course, ROH. I felt like it was going to be their win for this. But, you know, it didn't quite happen. But, again, another great match. And like I was saying, for a long night, it's hard to I think this was once I realized that I was not going to be home at, like, you know, 11 o'clock, 11:30. I think this is the moment where it's like, because I was holding off on getting food.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna get something on the way back to the hotel. And then when I realized that, and another fun fact that some people know and some people don't is like, I like to leave events early, but I can't because, you know, I'm kind of on the clock, so I have to stay for the thing. So once I realized that, I'm not gonna be home at a appropriate time, and I don't have a car. Let me go and get something to eat. So I think I missed part of the match, but on the whole, it was really, really good.
Very good. Yeah, it was a great match for sure. Unexpected, but it proved to be a fantastic match. And once again, Bang Bang Gang retains the titles. Then they get attacked by the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. And so it seems as though we could be setting up at some point. I don't know if it's going to be a title unification match between the AEW Trios champions and the Ring of Honor six-man champions, but we'll obviously be watching to see how that all pans out. Then we had the match without honor. It is Dalton Castle taking on Johnny TV, and kind of how we got here is for seemingly months on Ring of Honor television, there was this back and forth between Johnny TV and Dalton Castle, dating all the way back to Final Battle, where Johnny TV cost Dalton Castle the Ring of Honor World TV Championships, causing Castle to be the first one eliminated in that six-man match. From there, they went back and forth. They had a match for custody of the boys, which Dalton Castle lost. Johnny TV gets custody of the boys. And then in a very strange turn of events, the story is that the boys get eaten by bears, and that those bears happen to be the AEW budget, dare I say, because the boys were cut from the company ahead of Supercard of Honor, which was supposed to be kind of their crowning moment. So that leads us into this fight without honor. And a fight without honor in Ring of Honor terms is basically an unsanctioned match. Anything goes, you know, no disqualification, no count out, weapons are allowed, all of the things between Dalton Castle and Johnny TV. What did you think of this match?
This is the match that you didn't know you needed. First off, Taya, those gold boots. Inspirational. I want to pay.
Yeah.
Taya looked amazing.
She did.
The the entrance of the boys and all this stuff. It was just the pageantry of it all was just crazy. So that in itself made you like, wait, what is exactly going on here? Like it was just a lot in a good way. And then the match, it was just a lot of high flying moves and stuff like that. Again, I think if you watch the product all the time, you probably would have, I don't know, Professor, if you already kind of knew who was going to win. But because I'm kind of just getting back into consistently watching it, it was just kind of like, okay, wait, what's going to happen here? Which made it a fun event. And then to have the actor, what's his name again?
Paul Michael House. I'm gonna get his name right in a second.
Mr. TV Paul Walter Hauser.
Paul Walter Hauser. I call him Michael. Paul Walter Hauser.
It was kind of, I don't know how they showed it on the pay-per-view, but in real life, there were people who was like, and this happens in LA a lot, there are people where it's just like, he's somebody, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. No shame. Because I think he's like an Emmy award winning. Like,
yes. he's
that guy. So it's just kind of like, he's somebody, but I don't know quite know who he is. And which kind of threw it off. Or it might have made it, because if you watch Ring of Honor last night, they kind of tied it all in together. The ending was really, really good. I'm now questioning. Oh, and then also when the boy, that moment when the boy came back out and they were jumping
through the yeah, yeah,
beautiful. And then they took Ty away. Almost did they do that? And was it like was that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or was it Oz? I feel like they took that from one of those movies.
They took
her away. Like really great moments. And I think I've said this before on WWT Live. I referenced MJF and a scrum that he did here in LA, where he was just talking about there's different variations of wrestling, and you know, a comedic version of it is okay too for those. And I absolutely loved it. I didn't know this was the match that I needed to watch. And when I finished watching, I was like, this is amazing. Like, what next? What happens next?
Yeah.
So on a whole, great match.
It's funny you say that, because I think one of the things that the Ring of Honor and AEW brand have tried to shy away from has been, for lack of a better term, the sports entertainment of it all. And the reality of it is, and you made this point earlier in the show, how, you know, you can't continue to get all of the same, and expect to be able to have the same reaction to it. You know, it's almost like if you're eating, you know, you can't do all sweet. You need something that's savory or salty in there to offset the sweetness. That's why, you know, if you eat breakfast, you know, you usually have some sort of meat, or, you know, the bacon or sausage or something with your pancakes. You can't just do all sweets, right?
Love a good breakfast.
Yeah, me too. So this is that. This is kind of the bacon. This is the sausage. the entertainment element that you need that I think is so important. And it was unpredictable. You didn't really know what was going to happen with this. But Dalton Castle and Johnny TV, Dalton Castle has always been the flamboyant one in the space of Ring of Honor. Johnny TV, we all know him from all of the places that he's been. So this match was like the perfect palate cleanser in a card that was filled with hard-hitting kinds of matches. This was really kind of what you needed in there. So congratulations to Dalton Castle, who, again, lost his boys, but gained a lot of other ones of all shapes and sizes, dare we say.
Oh, like, wait. And they shout out to them because they stayed in character. Like,
they did. They did. Even when the one that was supposed to jump through the ropes didn't quite fully make the tope happen, it was quite hilarious. Yeah, it was. So that leads us to the final two matches of the night, and that would be the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. Athena, who at that point had 49 defenses of the title, undefeated, against Hikaru Shida, the three-time AEW Women's World Champion. Kind of the backstory here, Athena had been looking for more competition since she has beaten everybody. Shida is someone from her past who she was unable to defeat when they were in Shimmer together. Mm. So a big callback to some of the action that happened in their pre-AEW Ring of Honor career. And so this match, yeah, all of the time leading up to it, Shida was in the head of Athena saying, "You can't beat me," you know, creating some angst for Athena for one of the first times in her Ring of Honor career. And here we are with this title match. What were your thoughts on this one?
Athena's promos, the porcelain princesses and the...
Yes.
It kind of reminds me, like, I don't think she... I think you probably have a better promo than she does, meaning that, like, you pray for people and cuss them out at the same time. I feel like that's what Athena is really doing. Like, I feel like that's what Athena is doing because it's just kind of like the presentation of it all and the word plays that she uses is just like, wait, did she just insult a whole group of people? Like,
right, right.
But the match was really, really great. I thought, and I think we've been talking about this for a while. I thought that Athena would drop to now go up to AEW, you know, because I feel like just who she is would be a great, interesting mix. Like, could you envision like her and Toni Storm? Like, what's going to happen with that? So yeah, it was an amazing match, but again, like I said, it was one of those things where it was such a long night. And I think either MDB 999 or Eddie might have said that ROH was longer than WrestleMania. So it's just kind of like, okay, this is the main event. One of the main events. So it was, long story short, it was a great match. Athena did take the W and, you know, but now what next? And she's just run through the locker room. Her and Billy Starks now go and, you know, create a tag team and, you know, run through it that way. Like it just seems like she's kind of hit the ceiling. But I'm sure she might create some other thing because she's very, very creative. Obviously, you can tell that.
Absolutely. Shout out to Honey, who was also with the crew there at WWT for Ring of Honor and all things Mania Weekend, saying that Athena's entrance was the stuff of legends for sure. Now, let me tell you what was interesting on the commentary front. And we don't often see this, but seeing this, and I don't know if it was planned or not, but it certainly got me interested. You had Nigel McGuinness on the call with, of course, Caprice Coleman and Ian Riccaboni. And you know, Ian and Caprice were clearly putting over how great Athena is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then there was kind of this conflict where Nigel had went on to say, you know, "I beg to differ in terms of Athena being the best woman in this whole Ring of Honor AEW universe." And he referenced Toni Storm. And then Caprice Coleman kind of came back and said, "Yeah, well, that's because AEW has not showcased Athena." And I just went, oh, this is interesting. Because mm-hmm. now we have commentators debating and really talking about a lot of what many onlookers have said, which has been, why have you protected basically AEW from Athena? So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be interesting to watch what happens going forward with Athena, but it's very rare that we get to see kind of this line drawn in the sand between Ring of Honor and AEW on commentary. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was very interesting that it happened during this matchup. And if you guys, again, didn't see it, go ahead and check it out on Ring of Honor's Honor Club. That led us, of course, to the main event. Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship. The story here, I mean, let me just say that I feel like Ring of Honor, of all the stories that were told, they were very, very intentional about driving this story home. You know, mm-hmm. here it is. This match happens 11 years to the day that Mark's brother Jay won his first Ring of Honor world title. It happens in the birthplace of Ring of Honor, being, mm-hmm. of course, Philadelphia. And they even mentioned on commentary, which was amazing, that it had been 444 days since the passing of Jay Briscoe. Like, wow. They told this story expertly. And this mm-hmm. wasn't a case where you had two guys who hated each other. Quite the contrary. Two guys who loved each other but were willing to spill blood for the Ring of Honor World Championship. What did you think about this match? And how in the arena did the story play out for you?
I mean, they showed the video package. And mm-hmm. again, if you don't have that $9.99, they did. I mean, I think most promotions are really good at this, telling the story, what you might have missed. So now it got you really invested into, okay, well, what's going to happen? We all know of the passing. We all know of their involvement with Ring of Honor. Have they been mainstays as far as wrestling? Like, mm-hmm. I remember X-Pac would talk about them. Like, and to me, when X-Pac talked about certain people who are not WWE affiliated, not to say like he's definitely not a snob by any means, but like I took notice because mm-hmm. there's like, okay, he's talking about these people. There's a reason why. Da, da, da.
Right.
So like, I remember him talking about them. So it's just seeing this and then, you know, Eddie Kingston, seeing the match itself, was just, you know, great storytelling. Mm-hmm. And you know, the ending was amazing. And like I said, not to harp on it, but now, you know, you really couldn't fully enjoy it with them because now it's 12 o'clock and
yes.
he's tired.
Yes.
And you want to go yeah. home.
Yes.
Like, I want to be happy for you, but mm-hmm.
I'm tired and I'm hungry.
I'm
yeah.
tired and I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. But really, 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 really happy for this match. Was a great match. I feel yeah. like if you guys, I mean, the whole card was good. There yeah. might have been one or two matches that we could have gone without, mm-hmm. But definitely encouraged to kind of almost like go through, definitely watch this match for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, everything about this match is the kind of story that you want to tell in a space like Ring of Honor. And again, I echo all of those points. The storytelling was powerful. And I also think that the timing of it was wild. Obviously, all of the things lined up with Jay Briscoe and the like. But then given this whole weekend, you know, the talk of people finishing their stories, the emotional wrap up for, you know, Cody Rhodes, which would happen 2 days later. Like mm-hmm. it just really added to a feel good weekend where it felt like the right person at the top of the card kind of walked away as the champion and people could see themselves obviously in this story. I'll make one other point before we wrap this part up. And that is, you know, Mark Briscoe, homegrown for Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who, while, you know, he's been showcased on AEW, he's really been spending a lot of time there in Ring of Honor. And I think it's important for Ring of Honor that their champions are present on their regular weekly broadcast. We've seen mm-hmm. a lot more Ring of Honor champions on AEW television than we have on Ring of Honor television. So seeing Mark Briscoe win this match almost felt like he was bringing that title home. to Ring of Honor. So congratulations there to Mark Briscoe, who ironically, again, got the whole shoulder treatment, very similar to what we would see with Cody Rhodes some 48 hours later. So congratulations to him. Now, there is the fallout to potentially talk about, which aired last night, but we're out of time. So we will get to that at some other point. But what we do want to do is encourage you to go ahead and check out Ring of Honor on Honor Club. You're able to see their weekly show there, all of their past pay-per-views and current pay-per-views. That entire library is there for you to check out. It is really a great value at $9.99 a month. And again, that now includes their current pay-per-views, which again is far different than what was going on previously with Ring of Honor, where you had to pay for each pay-per-view a la carte, dare I say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, $40 a pop adds up quite a bit if you ordered, and they only do like three or four pay-per-views a year. So if you order all of them, you know, it's $1.60 of sorts, and you certainly pay less than that by doing the $9.99 a month. It sounds like we're selling this. Ring of Honor, run us our check.
Yeah, run
us our checks. But seriously, I do think Honor Club is a really great value, and you guys can check it out. And you can check out what's happening with Ring of Honor on a weekly basis there as well. TK, how can the people find you? It feels very weird doing that.
You can find me everywhere at TK Trinidad, and also you can find me back here today at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern for WWT Live. We have another special co-host joining us as well. I think it's gonna be a packed house. You know, we never know until whoever pops up. You know, we don't know if Sen's coming back from the street, where Jacob is stuck in Victor Hill, or one of the principalities that yeah, you can follow me everywhere at TK Trinidad. Don't really post a lot, but you know, there we are. Oh, also, if you have, I have been posting recently. My poor little dog, she came, her hip is all jacked up. If you want to support, we are so close. I'm like, I think we're like $220 away. So shout out to everybody who has supported. I really, really appreciated it. Short story, super short story. I got her, she's a rescue. Her hip was jacked up. Found out that the bill is $3,500. I found a place and two really donors to contribute the majority of the money. And wow, that left me $850 to come up with on top of whatever I put in. And you guys came through. So shout out to y'all for that. I think we're like $220 away. You can check out all my social media posts for that. But yeah, and she's getting her operation in like a couple of days. So that it's, you know, I thank you for all the well wishes to her. She is quite a handful, but yeah, she'll be making her appearance soon.
Awesome. We love to see it. Of course, you guys can find me at Bonafide on all of the socials. Commentary work with IWE and Southern Honor on IWTV. You can check out my work, of course, with the Nightmare Factory and All Caribbean Wrestling on their respective YouTube pages. Some great additional content coming there. Also, my work with Ashe Wrestling, which we just dropped something really, really cool yesterday on our YouTube page for Ashe Wrestling. So check that out. And of course, a week from today, actually, is the next big show for Ashe Cosmos on April the 19th in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can actually watch that live at AsheWrestling.com. Again, be back here for WWT Live today at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Check out all things. Oh, yes. And then following that is the SmackDown watch along, of course, with Wrestling with Honey. That'll be following WWT Live. So all sorts of cool things happening here at Women's Wrestling Talk, WW Talk Pod on the socials, and follow us at Women's Wrestling Talk, WWTalkPod.com on the website. Lots of great things happening there as well. Very, very soon you'll be seeing a lot of what happened during Mania Week. There were a ton of interviews that happened. So all kinds of great things. So make sure you are checking it out. Shout out to all of you who joined us in the chat. There are many of you. Of course, Honey is in there. Eddie, MDB. I thought I saw Matt. He's in there as well. And a few others. Plus a ton of you were actually watching today as well. What a great, great reboot for all things Ring of Honor. And we'll be back here with this particular show next week as we talk more about Ring of Honor here on Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.